No, Lord, we thank you for your person. We thank you, Lord, because of who you are. We thank you because of what you have done for us. We thank you that you have saved us. And Lord, you're trying to save many more. May today, as the message is proclaimed, that others might see and might know what we already know. We thank you. We thank you for the word that's about to come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Entitled the message, Why Didn't They Leave? Why Didn't They Leave? A young couple moved to New Orleans 4 years ago to be close to their aged aunt and to provide care and support. The aunt had a condo of her own, and they bought a house nearby. 2 weeks ago, Hurricane Katrina moved into the Gulf, packing winds of 175 miles per hour. And as the storm got closer, then the evacuation orders came. I would like to continue the theme talking about Katrina only in the light of the fact that yesterday our president declared yesterday a national day of prayer. So I'd like to continue talking about it. I know we are saturated with it, but I'd like to spend just a moment sharing with you some things that I think are important. I'd like to welcome those who will join us via the internet, download this sermon, and let you know how proud and happy we are to have you a part of our Fallbrook family. The dear aunt heard the order to leave, but despite the rising waters that were to come, she refused to leave. She would ride out the storm, but that's not the story. She wanted her nephew and niece to ride out the storm with her. They felt uncomfortable with that. They had children and didn't feel that it was safe. So they went to another state, and you know the rest is history. The hurricane came, and the niece and nephew lost everything. But the aunt, I don't know if it's still true today, it was several days ago, was still in her condo with the waters no telling how high. She refused to leave, and she sits there upset because her niece and nephew would not stay there with her. Why didn't she leave? It's just one story, and there are probably many like it. Why didn't she leave? If you feel you're saturated by Katrina news, think about the person whose name Katrina, who was a member of the singing group Katrina and the Waves. A London group, she had a website, and she received 22,000 hits on August the 29th. So you're not the only one saturated. But I believe there are important spiritual lessons that should not be overlooked. The entire incident says volumes about our nation and about our people. About our people, because we'll come up with some of the weirdest ideas. Pat Robinson is supposed to said that Katrina happened because the Emmys awarded the host to Ellen DeGeneres. He says because Ellen DeGeneres hosted the Emmys in 2001, you know what happened in 2001, he connects the Katrina hurricane to Ellen and the Emmy Awards. Where do we get those ideas from? I'd be curious to know what silly ideas we have right here in Fallbrook. You don't have to say amen. Or the idea that the Columbia Christians for Life claim that God was after the five abortion clinics in New Orleans. And they have proof because they saw a photo showing that the Hurricane Katrina looked like a fetus facing west as if it was in a womb. I hope nobody in here has those kind of ideas. Amen? Or even more bizarre, Robert Kennedy Jr., who blamed the hurricane on Governor of Mississippi Haley Barbour, because he played a major role in derailing the Kyoto Protocol, the conference on global warming. So, I hope we don't have any ideas like that here in Fallbrook. It was just a hurricane that came. And then this, a little humor for the whole Katrina disaster. Someone said, the new Katrina Express debit card. It's everywhere you don't want to be. Think about that. Well, I continue talking about this story, this incident, this real life situation. One of the reasons that it's unique, it's the first time a major city, a U.S. city, was shut down, closed. No food, no water, no power, no phones, everything gone. And to make matters worse, it happened a few days before the Social Security checks were due. So during the storm, many who should have left early decided that they would flock to the Greyhound bus station, only to find it closed. And the former FEMA director, Michael Brown, in a moment of candor, commented that we're seeing people that we didn't even know existed. Or the strange behavior of the man who was standing on Canal Boulevard with water up to his chest, wearing a mink coat that he'd just taken from a nearby store. Help me, Lord. Where do we come up with this stuff from? You couldn't even make this up. Well, the police reported in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, that a man shot his sister in the head in the fight over a bag of ice. You never know how people will react in a crisis of such proportion. Why didn't they leave? You've heard it all. No transportation. Why didn't they leave? How about the sick and the elderly? Certainly they had a difficulty making it out. And certainly there were many who stayed so that they could guard their possessions. And, I need to say something. Those things that I've just cited why they did not leave, they are very legitimate reasons. And if we are honest, it would be very difficult to leave the things that we have worked for all of our lives. Some did not leave because they've been in storms before and made it through. No reason to think that this would be any worse than the things that they've seen before. On St. Charles Street, Michigan Police, the Texas National Guard, along with New Orleans Police, went to a door after smelling something foul, fearing that a body was inside. They broke the door down, and when they got in, they were confronted by a lady that told them to go to Hades. She wasn't leaving. A wealthy homeowner hired his own security guard to guard his property because he wasn't going anywhere. Mary O'Holly, 32 years of age, refused to leave behind his pit bull, Irene. So he had to convince the National Guard to take his dog with them before he would leave. And Robert Sanford, 62, retired, was sitting on his porch, drinking soda, vowing not to leave. He says, I don't need much. I got 12 gallons of water and some pork and beans, and I'm all right. Help us, Lord. There's an all-important question. Why didn't they leave? But is there anything in that city that's so important that you would risk your life for it? I was trying to find out in my research for the sermon some real answers why people did not leave. And so there was a Washington Post reporter did interview some people and found out this. Just a few, but there are many like this. Eric Dunbar makes $20,000 a year. Like everybody else in New Orleans, he was living from paycheck to paycheck. And when the reporter interviewed him, he had only 50 cents, and that was not enough for a long-distance call to get a hold of his brother so that he could leave. One lady, Carmita Stevens, had one vehicle. The vehicle was a truck. She couldn't get her grandparents and her children and all the other family members that lived with her in the truck, so she decided to stay, then leave someone. John West, why did he not leave? He had $3 to his name. He'd never in his entire life had a savings account. He was a working poor, made $340 a month. Did you hear what I said? A month. He lived with his mother, and he gave his mother $150 of that. And there are many other stories like that. You know, we didn't want to hear this as a nation. Some of you don't like me preaching this, but it's the truth. It was the truth that was hiding in New Orleans. Why didn't they leave? There's a parallel. John chapter 14. I want you to turn there briefly just for a minute. The scripture, you know it. We don't even have to look at it. We know it so well. John chapter 14. Jesus is in the company of his disciples, verse 1 of John chapter 14. He knows it's about time for him to depart this world. He foresaw the trouble that was coming upon his earth, on this earth, and so he gives to his disciples some encouragement. And he starts off the passage of John 14 by saying, "Let not your heart be what, everybody? Be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are a few mansions." Many mansions, many resting places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will, what everybody? Come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be, or you may be also. When Jesus said this to his disciples, everything was about to collapse. One was about to betray him. His staunchest supporter was about to fail him. And all the other disciples would not be there for him. With everything about to collapse, Jesus told his leaders not to worry. Fallbrook, do not worry. And then Thomas blurts out something. He says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going and how we can find the way." You see, Thomas didn't get it. Just like many today, what would make you stay? And what would cause you to leave? I must be honest with you. We had a tragedy here in Southern California. It would be very, very difficult for me to leave everything that I've worked for. I'm telling you that. I mean, that's the honest to goodness truth. It would be very difficult to leave everything that I've ever worked for, but it wouldn't be impossible. The Gulf area was warned many times. Time magazine in 2000 entitled one of their covers, "Life on the Mississippi," where an article speculated on a Category 5 hurricane coming to, guess where? New Orleans. 2000. Let me tell you, to give you the details. They said that a Category 5 hurricane would come out of the Gulf and cause Lake Pontchartrain to overflow. Evacuation routes would be blocked, buildings destroyed, hazardous waste would turn the flood waters into lethal soup. The article said that the engineers are coming up with a plan to save New Orleans, but the price tag is $14 billion. That's nothing today. The first declaration was $62 billion. They were warned. Jesus is coming again. We have been warning the world for over 120 years. Our little church. We know what the Bible says about Jesus coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, 13 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. You know the text. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8, the wicked will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Matthew chapter 24, all of those passages, especially verse 7. Jesus says just before he comes, there's going to be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. We know those passages. Luke 21 and verse 26 says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Fallbrook, let not your heart be troubled. This is only the beginning. And this Friday, we're going to try something. We should have done this earlier, but I want my internet crowd to hear it. We're going to present the appearing here at Fallbrook. 7 o'clock Friday, 5 days. We're going to talk about the second coming of Jesus. You want to come? Bring someone with you. I know it's going to happen up in Marietta, but we want you down here. Amen? So we decided to make it happen. I haven't figured out how, but somehow it's going to happen. So Friday at 7, we want you to be here. 5 nights, the appearing. Sean Boonstra was just here 2 weeks ago. I'm so sorry I didn't get it straight then, but I was in the back there dressing after the baptism. So I didn't hear what he said, nor did I get a chance to speak to him afterwards. So we're going to try that. Amen? Friday at 7 o'clock, you want to be here as he talks about the second coming of Jesus, the appearing. Is the world heeding the warning that Jesus is coming? Are they paying any attention? I would say no. When I was moving from Fallbrook, from Poway to Oceanside, one of the hardest things for my son to do was move. He did not want to leave Poway. He didn't want to leave all of his friends. And so as I was working on negotiations and buying a house in Oceanside, I was praying one way and he was praying another. He told me he was convinced that we were not moving. And so the day in Poway when the moving truck pulled up to the house, he was sitting in his room saying, we were not going to move. I had to go in the room
talk to my son, get him up off of the bed, because the movers were coming in the room to move his stuff. We were moving.
You know, the easiest thing to do is to throw dollars at the situation. That's where our government failed. They sent declarations of money with no food. When you're hungry, you don't want dollars, you want food. And the first responders there were churches. I'm so proud of the Christian churches. You know what they did? They brought down vans and cooking utensils and food and cooked food for the people. I'm so proud of that. The government was playing games. The churches were out there feeding people, giving them what they needed. Don't you put too much faith in these governments. They were feeding people. I'm so proud of the churches, Christian organizations. You know why? Because, you know, churches and Christian organizations are not afraid to truly touch people. We're not class conscious. Are you with me? So we're not afraid to touch people, all people. And Christians, one of the things that I love about Christian people, we welcome all people. Amen? That's why I'm so proud to be your pastor here at Fallbrook. I know that if you would choose a black preacher from the ghetto of Philadelphia, I know that everybody that walks in this door is welcome. Amen? I know that. I know they're welcome here at Fallbrook. Some of you don't even like me to mention that I'm black. Don't ever worry about that, all right? It's obvious. So don't be turned off by that when I mention that. That's okay. I know. I appreciate Fallbrook and what you mean. What I'm making a point. You know what many of those people needed? Why didn't they leave? Just as I did for my son, I had to go in the room and get him up out of there, talk to him. I know this may surprise you, but many of those people needed someone to go in and get them. If you don't believe that, just let there be a violent incident at a school where your children are and watch the traffic jam. All the parents are going to get their babies. They're going to get them. They may be two blocks from the house, but they're going up there and get them. Those people in New Orleans needed someone to come in there that they could feel comfortable with, who would love them and say, get on out. You know, maybe the question is not why didn't they leave, but maybe the question is why would they come? Why would the service providers, the Coast Guard, the Red Cross, Salvation Army, Adventist Community Services, the many rescuers, and why would they come? That's a miracle. Why would Dr. Greg Henderson, a pathologist, why would he come to the New Orleans Convention Center with 10,000 people jammed into a building where it's 105 degrees, people are dying, people are having seizures, and he was the only doctor for 10,000 people?
people? That's the question. Why would he come?
He certainly could get out.
That's a miracle.
You're talking about, see, sometimes the news media will make it seem like people don't have any love and compassion. But I'm telling you, there's some loving people in this nation. There's some compassionate people in this country. Why would he come? Take care of all of them. Try and take care of all of them. Impossible tasks. Why would Jesus come? Why would he come to this polluted, dirty, diseased, plagued, bloated, stinking, nasty earth to save you and me? Hallelujah. What a God we serve. My time is more than gone, but I need you to give me 10 minutes. It's too important for me not to take 10 minutes. Amen? I just got to. But you know, Jesus, you know what I like about Jesus? He died on the cross, but he wasn't finished until he could come back for you and I. And I am convinced that not only should we go in and bring people out, but we are not finished until we take people to a place. See, Jesus is coming back to take us to a place. And we are not finished until we can take people to a place. Evelyn Turner's husband, Xavier, had lung cancer. Couldn't be easily moved. So with a phone and a small oxygen tank, no phone and an oxygen tank, she needed to go out and try and find some help for her husband. So she waded through the water, tried to find help, and did not find any help. She got back and found her husband, Xavier, dead. Devastated by the event, the only thing she could think of was to wrap him in a sheet, make a makeshift boat, and floating down the main street, still waiting for help. How many stories are like that? You know what makes Jesus relevant to this story? Is that Jesus is the only one I know who can rescue the living and the dead. He can make something out of this situation that no one else can make. That's why we hold on to Jesus. It's not pie in the sky. This is real. Jesus goes the ultimate. We're not finished here until we bring someone to a place. There's a lady here in this church that had been working with the Katrina hurricane situation and helping. She has informed me that there's a lady, a Hispanic lady, that sits in a shelter today. She's not a Seventh-day Adventist, but she has been receiving studies from our church when this incident happened. She sits there with her 3-year-old child, with no place to go. This member is arranging for that individual to come here and join with their family. I believe that we are not finished until we bring a life to a place. Now I know
And I appreciate the efforts that have been made here at Fallbrook. Do you know that this church has given $2,000 since we made the last request last week or so? I appreciate, I thank you for that kind of generosity here. But it may be that when that lady and her child gets here, she comes into this church, that we may want to help her. Now, I'll tell you, you have to know that I'm part of an organization, and whenever I have to do something, I have to go through 15 other folk to do it. You know how it works. You know the deal. Come on, y'all not new to the church. That's part of the organization I belong to. But time marches on, folk. And we can't wait to help people forever. So if that lady comes with her child and you can help, would you help? Don't come to me because I got to go to 15 other folk. Are you with me? Don't wait. That's what's wrong with our government. They had to go through so many people. The church is a wonderful church, but its bureaucracy is large. Y'all don't want, is that all right? I know I'm going to get beat up at the door, but it's the truth. Y'all know that. Y'all know the deal. So if that lady comes, would you just help her? And not, we don't have to get another committee together. Are you with me? Just do it. You don't have to call me up. You don't have to get a hold of me. If she's here, would you help her? Thank you. I know you will, because I know that's the kind of church you are. I have a card right up there. I read it at the first service from Dean Mallory's family. We talked about how when Dean Mallory got that generous contribution from this church, he cried. His tumor is shrinking, and they said he thinks about Fallbrook. They said Fallbrook is the best church in the world. Amen? So I know the kind of spirit we have here. But let's not go through another bureaucracy. Amen? To help people. Kim, thank you. You didn't want me to point you out, but thank you. I know what you've been doing, and I appreciate that so much. I appreciate the others who have been doing and the help. Jesus is coming soon. Is there anything in your life that you're holding on so much so that it would stop you from being saved? I can't answer that. Only you can answer that. But I don't know about you. If it's stopping you from being saved, let it go. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming in our room. Thank you for coming to this earth to rescue us. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us and sharing the great need of salvation for each of us. Lord, we're living in a world that's asleep. Even in the midst of one of the greatest catastrophes that our nation has faced, some still don't get it. They don't believe it. They're asleep. And we know, Lord, that it's just the beginning of sorrows. But we're not going to despair. Our hearts are not going to be troubled. For we believe in you. We believe in you. What your word says, we accept it. We claim it. Now, Lord, thank you, Lord. Continue to bless this church that we might be a blessing to others. And then most of all, Lord, save us in spite of ourselves. Lord, reach down
into that muck and mire of this world and pull us out. And then, Lord, we're going to accept your grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Need to do two things, and then we'll be gone. Look in your, just inside your bulletin is a nominating committee.